11, the great chapter on faith in Hebrews 11. I think it's going to be actually a really short message tonight. I've just got one thing I want to focus on, and hardly anything written down to preach on, but not because I want to preach short for any particular reason. I just felt it's just one thought. I don't want to lose that one thought for other things we could teach in this passage. And one of the things you find when you preach a passage is someone might say, well, you didn't teach this. You can't teach everything in a passage. The Bible's deep. And you can teach a context and give some of this stuff, but the Bible's so profound. Sometimes you got a whole lot to teach in there. And lately I've been using a lot less notes. Sunday morning I didn't have any notes for the sermon in John 21. And I don't know why, just the way the Lord's kind of directed. And I'm finding the way without notes. One of the best services we ever had, I didn't even know I was going to preach. And Lord told me don't prepare anything. And so that was that Easter Sunday. And whatever the Lord wants is fine. Hebrews 11, I'm going to just point out a couple things, but we'll start at verse 1. A definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition. So it's tangible of things you hope. The word hoped is a lot stronger word in the Bible. Now, about faith, hope, and charity. The word hope in the Bible, you have to understand, it's not, I hope this happens. The word means, because it's going to come into this message very much, the word means an earnest expectation. And it's used a lot in the Bible. Remember, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. It's one of the three things that abides. It's very important, and we don't understand that a lot of times. It's not, I hope this happens. It's much stronger than that. It is, you're looking forward to something. It's like, I'm retiring, and I have the hope of retirement coming. Or, summer vacation's coming, I have the hope, I'm looking forward to the last day of school. Or, I'm getting married. It's a looking forward and excitement about something, and hope is very important that we have that. And so, substance is that earnest, the faith is a substance of that earnest expectation that we're going to get something. And it's the evidence of things we do not see. For by it, faith, the elders obtain a good report. They met with God's approval, they pleased God, God spoke well of them, as he will all throughout Hebrews 11. Through faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made out of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray and we'll talk about this. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for the spirit. Thank you for the church. Thank you, Lord, that I get the honor, Lord. If my whole life and all my training and preparation was just to preach this one night, it would be an honor I'm not worthy of and a great privilege to be your spokesman, Father, of heavenly things. And I just pray that you'd help me to do a faithful job to preach your word, which you have for us tonight. You have a plan, you have a will, and that's what I want, Father. No matter how I sound or what I do, doesn't matter much about what I come across as, Father. What matters is that your message comes to your people and speaks. And we ask that be the case, that you would just hide me behind the cross and speak now in a powerful way, and just use me, use us, and bless us with your truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We went through the first few verses there. We understand, verse 3, that creation, the things that we see were made of things which were not made of things which do appear. It was created by God. We accept that by faith. By the way, everybody, no matter what your philosophy at the beginning was, if you're an evolutionist, you think it was made by things which do not appear. You have faith. You don't have a video of it. You don't have an evidence of a creation of the universe. Everybody's living by faith. Your faith, if you believe in evolution, is something became, nothing became something, then exploded and made everything. And that's faith. Nobody saw the DNA particles come together and life go into them and the thing, and nobody saw that. And nobody saw the great, the Big Bang and all those things. It's all by faith. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now that's interesting because a lot of things are going to say they were done by faith. We wouldn't necessarily, the way we define faith, see it as that. Two guys went out, made sacrifice, Cain and Abel. One did it right, and God was pleased with it. One did it wrong, and God wasn't pleased with it. The story of Cain and Abel is very deep. One made an animal sacrifice, which was life has to be shed for sin. And just like when God, Adam and Eve, tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves, God said no, and he gave them skins, which meant he killed an animal. Why? Because blood has to be shed. Life has to be taken away for that. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, Adam and Eve's first covering themselves was from the earth. Cain tried to bring a sacrifice to God from the earth, out of the ground. The worldly salvation. And it's a picture of work salvation versus the sacrificial salvation. And so God rejected one. But by faith, he decided to go and sacrifice an animal and believe that God's way was the right way. And you can see that somehow he knew that was by faith. He believed that he needed to do that. And he brought forth the right kind of sacrifice. By the witness he obtained, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, the it is faith, obviously. And by it, being dead yet speaketh. Remember the story there? Abel's dead. And God says, where's your brother? And he says, I don't know. I'm my brother's keeper. He got sassy with God. And he says, his blood is crying to me from the grave, from the ground. I hear his blood crying to me. But it's interesting. He says, by faith, he was able to be dead and keep speaking. What it says there, isn't it? The end of the verse. And by it, by faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. It's interesting. Even after he's dead, it was faith that kept his blood talking to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so he literally, because he was faithful and did what God wanted to, God says, your faith has made me watch you and listen to you and pay attention to you and demands that I deal with this thing because you are faithful. And even though he's dead, I think of George Mueller. George Mueller had a friend, and George Mueller, you have to understand, got everything answered. I think 25,000 documented prayers he got answered. Greatest man of prayer. We know, I mean, just you when you talk about prayer, you talk about George Mueller is the man of prayer. George Mueller had a friend. He wanted to be saved. And George Mueller would pray for things, and I mean, God just did it instantly. But this friend, I think 40 years, every day, George Mueller prayed for this guy to get saved. And he never got saved. George Mueller died, the man having never got saved. But the man got saved at George Mueller's funeral. He being dead, yet speaketh. God heard his prayers. God heard his prayers. And it was one of his only unanswered prayers, so he thought. And, of course, it did get answered. The man was saved. And it's by faith. Verse 5, but by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's go back to Genesis 5. Just a little interesting thing there about Enoch. Enoch, there's not a lot said about him. You know, just a few verses here in Genesis 5. Keep in mind here, it says he had this testimony that he pleased God in Hebrews 11, 5. But in Genesis 5, in verse 21, here's the stuff about Enoch. And Enoch lived 605 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. That's about it that it says about Enoch. Little reference to him in the New Testament. I think it's Jude. I referred to him just for a second there. And but Enoch, now I think a couple of interesting things about that. If God's just going to say one little line about you, he walked with God. Understand how special that is to walk with God. That's what Adam and Eve were doing in the garden before the fall. After the fall, Adam and Eve didn't walk with God anymore, as far as we know. But Enoch was so special, he walked with God again. Now, the New Testament, the Old Testament doesn't say he pleased God. It says he walked with God. But the New Testament says he had this testimony that he pleased God. I think the clear association is you walk with God, you please God. And I think Christians, the most important thing you can do is walk with God, time with God, and be pleasing to God. And so he had the testimony that he pleased God by faith. By faith, he did this. Without faith, you can't do anything. You can't please God. Verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, this is where I want to focus the whole message here. For he that cometh to God must. All right. That's a strong word. The word must is very strong. If I said you must have a ticket to get in this airplane, it's absolute. Right? It says, he that cometh to God must. And there's two things you're supposed to do here. And I really want to focus the message on one thing. He must believe that he is. So you can't please God without faith. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Okay, a couple things. First of all, the word faith is a noun. It's faith. It's something it's talking about here. But the word believe is a verb. That's something you're actively doing. He that must believe that he is. That's obvious. You believe there is a God. You're not going to please God. You're not going to do what he wants if you don't believe that he exists. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe that there is a God, or you believe in the wrong God. Of course, if you believe in a statue or a volcano or something false, you're not going to please God and do what he says because you're not even worshiping the right God. He that cometh to him must believe that he is. But the second, and we can understand that. That's pretty simple. That's pretty obvious, right? You must believe God is. That's obvious if that's faith, obviously. But the second thing, you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why? It's impossible to please God without faith. You can't do it. You can do everything in the world, but you can't please God without faith. And then God says, why? Because you must believe that he is, and if you're going to have faith and please God, you must believe that he is a rewarder. You must believe that he is a rewarder. Why? Why do you have to believe that God is going to reward you in order to have faith, in order to please God? Well, I think you find it back at the start of the whole thing where it defines faith in verse 1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. That's the second part of the verse, down in verse 6. He's a rewarder. And the first part, and the evidence of things not seen, that's must believe that he is. See, two parts of faith here are that you have an evidence and things you hope for and you're looking forward to. You believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and you believe that he is, even though you can't see him. And so you must have both those things in order to please God, because if you don't have those two things, you don't have faith. Are you following me here? Okay, we have two things. We have believing that he is, but we have also believing that he rewards. You won't have faith if you don't believe he rewards. Why? It's the substance of things hoped for, of things looked forward to. Why? You lose hope when you do not believe God's going to reward you. Now, having said that, a lot of Christians can't please God and do not please God, although they believe God, they believe the Bible, it's true, obviously. However, they've got something in them that's usually too much looking at themselves, but something in them that said, God's not going to reward me. And because of that, they have no hope. And faith is a substance of things hoped for. And so they do not have the faith to obey and to do great things. And by faith they did this, and by faith they did this. Why? Because they really don't believe that God's going to bless them. God's going to do anything. God's going to answer, reward, bless, do something for them. But it says you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You will lose hope. You will not believe God. You will not obey. You will not do great things because all you do is believe that there is a God, but you don't think he's going to do anything for you. But the Bible, everywhere in the Bible, is full of faith. Do this because this will happen when you do this. Now, some of it's on earth. A lot of it isn't on earth. But all over the Bible, God is a rewarder. And we'll just I'll just turn to you a bunch of passages and just show you how God is a rewarder. And you've got to believe that if you want to please God. That's the thought for tonight. Now, let's go to Galatians, and I'm going to turn a bunch of different verses, and we'll just read a bunch of verses about God being a rewarder. See, if you do the right thing, don't think that God's not noticing that, and God's not going to reward that. Otherwise, you don't have faith. You don't have faith that God is a rewarder, and he's going to do what he says, and he's going to bless, and he's keeping track, and he's going to give you treasures, and he's going to do all the things that we say. We so often, many times, here's the thing, we have a stronger faith in our belief that God is a punisher of evil than a rewarder of good. But I say they're equal. The same God who is never mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, we're about to read here, he says it both ways. And we can read, I could read you a lot of passages on God is going to punish evildoers, okay? We can read a lot of that. There's a lot of, but I'm not focusing on that tonight because I'm focused on us and faith of things hoped for. Because the same God who, we say, man, if that person does that, you watch, we say, watch it, what happens, if God judged America, if this nation goes down that path, God's going to judge America and it's not going to turn out well. And we believe that. But do we also believe that God's going to bless you? When you do the right thing, God's going to reward you. Because that's the same God who promises the same way. And that's part of faith. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Nobody says, ha ha, I got away with this. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Anything you sow, you're going to get back. For he that soweth the flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Therefore, let us not be weary in well-doing, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. But we are only going to be not weary in well-doing, knowing, you understand, you see now, God's saying as part of that, you better not get tired of doing right, because you are going to reap. But if you don't have that hope, you're not going to keep on doing it. You'll be weary in well-doing if you don't think the reward's coming. You see that there? Again, same. God's teaching us the same thing here. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall, same thing, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. We shall reap if we faint not. And so we see that God promises that. Let's go back to Genesis real quick. Let's go back to Cain and Abel. God says, listen, I am a rewarder. Genesis 4 and verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God said, if you do right, you're going to get rewarded. If you don't, you don't. And he didn't. And he got rewarded bad. But God is a rewarder. And of course, we see that. And so let's turn to Matthew 5, one of the most famous passages in the Bible, the Beatitudes. You know what the Beatitudes are? They are the faith with the hope. It's because a lot of people are going to suffer, but if you suffer with the faith that has hope in it, and you believe God's going to reward you for your suffering, you're going to be fine. Now, realizing that, watch how the Beatitudes are simply instilling in us the hope part of faith. Verse 3, Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and after thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you see how that's, you hunger and thirst after righteousness, God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have hope because God's going to reward you. So hunger and thirst after righteousness because God will fill you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. By the way, I've said this before, but if your Bible version says happy here, it's the wrong word by far. Bad, bad word is not happy. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It doesn't make any sense. Blessed means you have blessings. You might be persecuted for righteousness' sake. You're blessed because you got your reward. It doesn't mean you're happy. Yay, they're feeding us the lions, honey. It's not happy. Almost all modern Bibles translate the word happy. It's not the same word. It's a bad translation, terrible translation. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? They have hope. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all of men are evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is reward in heaven, for they persecute the prophets. So you see, blessed, it's hope. Hope and belief. God is a great rewarder. The Beatitudes are all about the hope that God's going to bless you. Let's look at Romans. I'm just saying God's a great rewarder. You got to believe that God's going to reward you, or you'll get depressed, you'll get hopeless. And one of the greatest tricks the devil does is say, see, look, you've been serving God and nothing's good happened. Things are going bad. You have relationship problems. You have health problems. You have financial problems. And you're doing the right thing. See, God is mad at you, or God's not paying attention, or God doesn't love you. And what do you do? And inevitably, when people do that, they quit doing right and just kind of say, I might go to church, but I'm not going to. It never works out for me. Why? You don't really have the faith that believes in due season. And it might not be till heaven. But that's the faith that has hope in it. Where are we at? Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, it's a principle of God. God always rewards. It's the same God who says in 1 Timothy 5:18, the laborer is worthy of his hire. God is not going to rip you off. God is not going to rip you off if you do right. It's faith that he is a good God and he does what he says and he will reward you. That's why Jesus says, hey, there's no man who's lost brother and sister or father and mother or lands for my sake in the kingdom of God doesn't receive a hundredfold. It's hope that God is a rewarder. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Proverbs 11. Verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. A sure reward. And so we see that. Many of their passages. Let's go to Matthew 6. We're already near there. We'll do a couple of passages of Matthew, and then we'll finish up. A sure reward. He is a rewarder. God rewards you. Matthew 6, verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Shall reward thee openly. He said he promises that. It's not a guess. It's not a wonder. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men of fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now listen. You see, I've been doing this right thing forever, and I didn't get any reward from it. All that means, now, sometimes you get rewards here on earth, and praise the Lord for that. But I want to say this. If you didn't get it on earth, all that means you're going to be rewarded in heaven for it. That's all it means. God just says, you know what? You did right. You never get get robbed of a reward. It never happens. God always rewards. But I didn't see it. Well, so you'll see, by the way, you'll see a lot of them. Remember in the old, in Psalms, I had fainted except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Remember that verse? He would have quit if he didn't believe he was going to see God's goodness in the land of the living. I don't think humans are wired strong enough in most cases not to see some blessings on earth. I think God does bless. I think God, but some things might have to wait till heaven. No big deal. If you get it in heaven, you get it in heaven. It's like a graduation present, okay? But I do think God will give you blessings now, and he'll let you see things. Matthew 10. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's rewards. And unto whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Again, just another passage that says we get the reward. So God says, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to do it. And he's going to give you some on earth. He's going to give you some in heaven. The martyrs, many of them, I'm sure many of them prayed they wouldn't be caught. Matter of fact, I've read their books. I've read the stories. Many of them were in hiding. Many of them were trying to get taught. Tyndale was running for his life for a lot of years. And then they caught him. And they burned him at the stake. He got rewards for that. And he got rewards for all his faithful time. And when he didn't see it. So I just want to say this. God's going to reward you. If you don't have that faith, you can't please God. If you don't believe God is paying attention, he's a good God and going to do what he promised, which is reward you, he shall reward you openly, then you're going to lose heart and hope. And when hope deferred makes the heart sick. You've got to have that hope, believing God's the earnest expectation, the looking forward to the blessing. And I think that as a pastor of a church that had a lot of struggles to start with, that was one thing that I have quoted to God many times and just kept me going. The truth is, I don't deserve anything from God except for hell, but we've done some things that God said, if you do this, we're going to bless it. And so we're able to keep on going when nobody was coming to church. Why? Because we believe God was obligated. Now, God doesn't have to do anything for us except for the fact that he promised. We don't deserve anything, but God, knowing we're dust, made a bunch of promises to us. And listen, if God said, if I capture Jeremy here, this terrible criminal, and the sheriff said, hey, you get $10,000 for his reward, dead or alive. And I take him to the sheriff. I'm believing that sheriff, that he's a man of his word, or the marshal, whoever rewards. Now, if I bring him five different things, five different criminals, he doesn't give me any money, then I'm not going to believe him. But we've got a God who's 100%. He never lies. Titus 1:2, it's impossible for God to lie, it says. So believe God. Amen. And believe he's going to reward you. And you know what? There's nothing wrong. Read the Psalms. You'll find people praying, God, I'm losing hope here. I need you to show me a blessing. That's a biblical prayer. It happened many times in the Bible. God can do that. Now, there might be a blessing you're not best to receive right now. Maybe it's not good for you. Maybe God's going to use your death for the glory of God. Maybe you're going to be Mueller and that person gets saved after you die. That's just how it's going to have to work. But I believe God will bless you a lot in this life too. If you have faith enough to obey and believe. Have faith, believe he is, and believe that he rewards. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's go ahead and pray. And Father, as we just have a great passage, Lord, here in Hebrews 11, it just, Lord, I pray tonight that we just grasp this truth, that you're a rewarder, and we have to believe that, or we don't have faith. I pray tonight that we wouldn't lose hope, your kind of hope, earnest expectation. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have it. When the devil comes and tries to put a big cloud over us and make us just think there's no hope and God's never going to do anything for us, I pray, Lord, you'd break through the darkness and send a blessing. I pray that we would believe you when we don't see the blessing, that we know that you are never mocked, and you always make us reap what we sowed. The crop may still be in the ground, but we believe you, Father. Please help us to do so and live with that earnest expectation. There are some people probably out here, Father, who've done some right things and been faithful and prayed about something or tried to work on something or tried to figure something out and try to do right, but they haven't seen the reward. And I pray you'd give them hope. And I pray tonight they'd have the faith to believe. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're not going to...